UAB Medcast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB Medcast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world. Here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome to UAB Medcast. I'm Melanie Cole, and today we're discussing cancer genetics. Joining me is Megan Farmer. She's a genetic counselor with UAB Medicine. Megan, it's a pleasure to have you join us today. I love this topic. It's such an interesting field that you're in. Tell us a little bit about the main types of genetic testing in oncology today, about somatic tumor testing for treatment versus germline testing for hereditary cancer risk.
It's great to be here. And, you know, my main focus as a genetic counselor is really on the hereditary side with germline genetic testing, which is done to see if someone is born with a genetic predisposition to develop certain cancers. Whereas, like you mentioned, a second type of testing, somatic or tumor testing, is really more about treatment. So we know like all cancers and tumors have genetic mutations that are separate from germline genetics. And these differences in the tumor or cancer can affect how the cancer behaves. And so oncologists try to take advantage of this to use somatic testing to identify these mutations that might actually help them individualize therapies. So sometimes there are some overlaps between those two types of testing, because we may actually find clues in the somatic testing that there is an underlying germline mutation as well. But for the most part, these two tests are used for kind of separate reasons, and my focus is more on the germline side.
Well, thank you for clarifying. So tell us a genetic counselor's role in oncology and the benefits for other providers in recommending that their patients see a genetic counselor.
Well, in general, genetic counselors are medical professionals who have specialized education in both genetics and counseling. So we can really help other providers, patients kind of work through genetic testing and help people adapt to genetic information. So in the oncology side, a provider might refer a patient because they want to know if the cancer their patient has is hereditary. And if so, if that might change their plans from a treatment standpoint or may mean that patient is at increased risk for a future cancer. Sometimes providers in primary care or GI or GYN may actually refer a patient over because of family history, and the patient in front of them is wondering if they're at increased risk for the cancers that have been seen in the family. And so genetic counselors can identify whether testing is appropriate, who the best person in the family is to test, what the best genetic test is, and then once testing is coordinated, interpret those results and make plans for both the patient and their families. And all of that can go back to that original referring provider so that they can have a really engaged discussion with their patient.
Well, I'm glad you brought up the other family members. Tell us about the importance. If someone is getting tested, whether it's for BRCA gene or whatever, what is the importance of testing other family members or identifying family members in the past who may have been affected, and for these conversations, which are sometimes difficult for family members to have? How do you advise that they tell family members, listen, I'm getting tested, maybe you should get tested too? Tell us about how all that works.
Well, we always start with really thorough medical and family histories. And sometimes we take these family histories and actually realize that it's not the patient in front of us that needs testing, it's someone else. Because we want to start with the person that's most likely to test positive. And that person could be somewhat blindsided if they've never considered it themselves. Or in other cases, I do test the patient in front of me, they come back positive, and then we suddenly know that children, siblings, parents are at risk. And sometimes patients really haven't thought about that ahead of time. We try to prepare them as best we can in the actual genetic counseling session, but no one really thinks they're going to come back positive. So we usually remind patients that they've dealt with difficult conversations with their families before and that they know their families best. We might help them write letters to their family that kind of outline the important implications, as well as either offer to see them ourselves or find genetic counselors in their area who can help navigate the process so that it's not as much pressure on the patient and their relative.
There are some direct-to-consumer testings out there. If someone's concerned about their hereditary cancer risk, do you advise those kinds of things be used or not really?
We don't really advise them be used as the first course if you actually are concerned about heredity, But we do know that there can be some insights from testing from companies like 23andMe, so we don't ignore them either. I've heard from some primary care physicians that, you know, their patients bring these results in and they just throw them in the trash. We don't want them to do that because sometimes we actually do uncover something and we may have to follow that up with medical grade testing. But again, we don't ignore it. But if someone has a concerning personal or family history of cancer, the best thing to do is to start with an expert like a genetic counselor to determine kind of whether testing is appropriate and the best test order.
Now let's discuss some of the practical aspects of genetic testing, Megan, for other providers that are helping their patients make this decision. And I know because I'm going through this decision myself and I'm talking with my OBGYN about it. Testing has to go together with genetic counseling, evaluation of the patient's emotional status. Tell us how that part works. How do you counsel patients and for other providers that are having these discussions? What do you want them to know about telling their patients about what they do with the information, the emotional aspects of finding these things out? Tell us a little bit about that process.
Well, I always remind patients that we wouldn't do testing if we couldn't do something about a positive result. So when we find that someone has a genetic predisposition to cancer, our next question is, well, which cancer is it and how high is the risk? And then we walk back from that and say, how can we find those specific types of cancers earlier when they're easier to treat or maybe reduce the risk of those cancers altogether? So we're not just opening a Pandora's box where we say you're at increased risk for cancer. Good luck. Because I don't think anyone would want that kind of information. So from the very beginning, we let them know at least hypothetically what we would do if they were to test positive, which sometimes gives them some relief. And then sometimes we talk through whether now is really the right time to test. I've had pregnant patients who come to me for testing for hereditary cancer reasons. And by the end of the appointment, they decide maybe I want to wait until the baby is born and we're somewhat settled. Maybe just this isn't the right time. And in the meantime, there may still be some increased cancer screening that we can do just based on family history so they have that peace of mind. So timing can be really important. And then we also can identify support groups when someone tests positive that might be a good fit based on it being the same or similar genetic condition or kind of constellation of cancers. And there are certainly times when those typical resources just don't cut it and someone needs to meet with a mental health professional as well. So we can connect them with someone in their area that takes their insurance. And genetic counselors are trained to sort of do short-term psychosocial counseling, but then identify when someone may need longer-term help.
What are the insurance implications of hereditary cancer testing? Because as we've heard, things like life insurance can actually take that information. Tell us a little bit about insurance and the questions that you get most often about it.
This is a really common area of concern for patients. They're often asking whether they could be dropped from health insurance or pay higher premiums. And then also some of those other types of policies like life insurance, supplemental cancer policies, disability insurance. And the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act, or GINA, did become law in 2008, and it protects individuals from discrimination by health insurance companies and employers based on genetic information. And genetic information could include genetic test results, a family member's genetic test results, even family history of cancer. So there is some protection there when it comes to eligibility for insurance or for setting premiums. But GINA does not apply to life insurance or disability insurance or long-term care insurance. And we're not really seeing a lot of discrimination in those areas, but it wouldn't be illegal for a life insurance company to ask for genetic test results if someone was applying for a new policy. So some people who come in for genetic counseling and potentially genetic testing, if they feel like they don't have adequate coverage in one of those areas, they go ahead and get a policy in place before undergoing genetic testing just in case.
That's very good advice. As we wrap up, how's the field of cancer genetics and genetic counseling evolving? What's exciting in your field right now, Megan, that you're most excited to tell other providers about?
There's really a lot that's evolving in this field. I feel like everybody says their field is quickly changing, but in genetics, that really is true. And the few things that I think about most, one, you know, genetic testing options just keep expanding. We've identified more and more genes that we can test at once with one sample. And so these panels are just expanding. And we're also able to analyze these genes in more advanced or thorough ways. So things like RNA testing being coupled with DNA testing. And the threshold for hereditary cancer testing continues to drop, meaning guidelines saying who should have genetic testing and when are becoming less and less strict. And this is just creating an explosion of requests for genetic testing from providers and from patients themselves. And that can make it hard because there really are too few genetic counselors for every person needing a test to go through a genetic counselor, especially one that's nearby. And that means that we have to get more creative about increasing access. So UAB uses telehealth to help increase access to rural areas and other places without genetic counselors. And we're also partnering with MyGene Council, which is a digital health company that I also work for, to support physicians ordering genetic testing on their own using digital tools. And then third, I would just say that we're learning more about the genetic conditions themselves. So we're learning more about the risks associated with these pathogenic variants or mutations, and we're learning how to best address those risks. And so that means that what I counsel a patient today may be different 6 months or a year from now. So it's really important that patients and their providers are kept up to date with the latest. So that may mean checking back in with their genetic counselor. That might mean checking the latest NCCN or other guidelines, or again, using technology solutions like UAB's doing with MyGene Council to actually keep an electronic link back to patients and letting doctors know what the latest is.
Really an exciting, evolving time in this field of genetics. Fascinating, Megan. Thank you so much for joining us today. And a physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That concludes this episode of UAB Medcast. To refer your patients or for more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can visit our website at uabmedicine.org/physician. Please also remember to subscribe, rate, and review this podcast and all the other UAB Medicine podcasts. I'm Melanie Cole.